Bubble or no bubble? That's what we'll talk about today and much more here on Scrambled Eggs. Welcome in, everyone. Joe McCann and Phil Bush with you here on your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast on Crack Sidewalks. Big win yesterday, Phil. Let's get started there. Xavier was the best opponent Marquette has beaten so far this year, and I think it's a win that I think the whole Marquette fan base is really excited about.
Yeah, it was the most well-attended game I've seen all season, and the Bradley Center was definitely hopping. And who knew? Jake Thomas proving us all wrong one game at a time.
One game at a time. We'll talk about Jake a lot in the show, I think, because he definitely earned it. He had a great game. But National Marquette Day, certainly a success. For those on the outside may think it's kind of a silly to have a national day for your university, but I think it's fun for everyone in the Marquette fan base, especially those of us who do not live in Milwaukee, to get together and have watch parties. I was at the one in Dallas, and there were a bunch of others across the country, and it's great to see that the Bradley Center was, I don't know if it was sold out, but it was definitely packed, and there was a great crowd, and for Marquette to come up with a big win when it really kind of needed one as they try to climb up the ranks of call the bubble and maybe get in the mix for an NCAA tournament berth. We'll talk about that situation there, but let's talk about the game specifically. And as you mentioned, Phil, Jake Thomas really had a breakout game. I mean, this is the kind of game that he really needs to have if Marquette is going to keep climbing in the Big East and maybe be and improve its NCAA tournament resume.
Right. It was a big game. I don't think it eliminates all the consternation or objection to his getting so many minutes previously, but it definitely showed that he brings some piece of value. If he's hitting a shot, he's definitely got value. He was playing defense well. Overall, it was just a very solid win, buzzer to buzzer. I mean, that was the big takeaway I took from the game. There were a couple of anxious minutes, midway through the second half when Xavier tried to, I think, got within four at one point. But the team overall, it was a pretty solid end-to-end victory. And it was almost exclusively, I don't like patting myself on the back because mostly I'm not that flexible, but, it was very much an upperclassman type of victory, which is kind of what I tweeted about before the game, is that Buzz just took the upperclassman. I think there was maybe 5 minutes of freshman minutes at all.
Right. And I think, people have been campaigning. We've done it on this podcast, especially when the team was struggling, more playing time for the freshmen. We've got to get the freshmen out there. But I think at this point of the season, if the freshmen haven't established themselves as major contributors into the rotation, they're probably not going to at this point, as we're past the midway point of February. I mean, there's only a few weeks left in the season. So I think if the freshmen haven't established themselves as regular rotation guys who are going to contribute a lot, we're just not going to see them very much. And it's going to be wait till next year for Juwan Johnson and John Dawson and, to an extent, Burton as well.
Well, and I mean, let's be honest. Yesterday's game, Derek Wilson and Jake Thomas have been maligned all season, and in some instances, rightfully so. But that was probably the best game the two of them have put together. If you were getting that kind of performance out of them the entire season, this isn't really that much of a discussion. I think, one, the team's performing better, and two, people are saying, oh, maybe the freshmen aren't better. So, I'm not sold that everything is fixed and we're totally right. We happen to have two good games out of our starting backcourt all at the same time. It could easily fall apart from here on out. But if they're going to play like that, it's hard to justify taking them out. I mean, Jake Thomas was hitting all his threes and was playing solid defense. Really, that's about what you needed out of that position yesterday.
Right. 27 points combined from Jake Thomas and Derek Wilson, who normally combine for about 12 on the season. Is that, I guess the big question, Phil, is that an anomaly or is that something to get excited about as we head into the last six games of Big East play?
I guess I'm going to be terrible and split the difference. I don't think it's an anomaly. I think it's something that could happen, but I don't think it's going to be the consistency. And that's been the story this whole season, is the team is inconsistent. So I think Derek and Jake will have good games coming along, but I don't think, we might very well see bad Jake and bad Derek in Wednesday's game against Creighton. It's possible. I don't think they've necessarily turned a corner, but I think they've proven their value.
Yeah, I mean, 18 points from Jake Thomas, I'll take that any day. I've shifted my thinking on the two-guard spot from, you know, play Jake less and see what Juwan Johnson can do and maybe start Todd Mayo. I've just shifted away from that thinking, and now my thought is Jake just has to play better, and Jake has to have more games like the Xavier game. And if Jake is going to be getting between 15 to 20 points routinely down the stretch, and that's great, and that's exactly what they need. And if all he is a spot-up shooter, that's fine. I don't think he really needs to do much else, because he was really doing really everything that I guess Buzz envisioned that he could do when he put him in the starting lineup at the beginning of the season, and has started him almost every game since, is to have games like that where he can just get in a rhythm and knock down 4, 5, or 6 threes. And that was really what kind of distanced Marquette from Xavier all afternoon on Saturday, was Jake consistently hitting threes. When he's 6 of 10, you know, I'll take that every day. And it was a great game for Derek when he has, you know, only 4 assists, but it seemed like he had more than that because he played so well. But the big number was no turnovers, 6 steals, and those 9 points, picking his spots on offense, driving aggressively to the basket and getting layups. That's what you love to see out of Derek. The other big thing that was great for Marquette was the free throw shooting. And Marquette in the past, when I say in the past, I mean previous seasons, Marquette has been actually a pretty good free throw shooting team, as long as it's been Gardner going to the line, because he's been exceptional, and he was great on Saturday. He was 10 for 10, and the team as a whole was 24 of 27. And when you're getting that many free throws attempted and you're making that many, 24 out of 27, that's a recipe for success as well.
Right, yeah. And the other thing that you know, and I'm sure there's some stalwarts out there that are going to listen to this podcast, you know, and call us big giant Jake Thomas and Derek Wilson lovers, but I mean they earned the minutes they had. And the thing that doesn't really show up, it does a little bit in the stat book with the 6 steals. Derek Wilson's defense on Xavier's best player, Kristen, was kind of the difference making in the team. I mean, Xavier shot over 50% for the game, but they limited Kristen's offense. And we're able to, like you said, get to the line, get points. So the team really kind of gelled and pulled the pieces together. And I don't know what's got. Maybe they're practicing free throws. I don't know. But this game they were 24-27 against Seton Hall. I think they were something like 19-22 or something like that.
Actually, against Seton Hall, they were 30-34.
30-34. Yeah. So you know. Doing quick math, I mean, that's like 64 and 67 or some, you know.
Bottom line, they shot 88-89% in both games.
Right, which is relatively unheard of, and it's pretty good when Derek Wilson's one of the guys going to the line and he's hitting his free throws, because we know his struggles. Right. So it's kind of all the pieces coming together, as well as some, for Marquette's talent, some favorable matchups. Because, I mean, let's be honest, in the Xavier game that they lost at Xavier, they were in that game until late and maybe should have won, but had just some mental lapses at the end of the game. So, and maybe that's why Buzz is going with the upperclassmen much more so than the seniors, much more than the freshmen. He's decided, hey, we're going to just go with the intelligence. Maybe the talent's better in the freshmen, but we're going to go with the experience and hope we can ride that through.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. And, you know, back to your point on Jake and Derek, you know, I'm a believer, if you're going to rip guys when they do poorly and call for their jobs when they do poorly, you have to praise them when they do well.
Yes.
And Derek and Jake played great against Xavier. And I wouldn't really, if I can get that performance, whether, you know, in some shape or form, get 27 points from those two guys every game from here on out, I will sign for that right now. And I bet Marquette would win 5 out of 6 games, maybe even all 6, if they got 27 points from those guys every game going forward.
Yeah.
Can that happen? I don't know, but it was great. It was exactly what Buzz has been hoping for out of those guys all season. And it kind of justified the faith he has shown in those guys, despite many people calling for changes, calling for John Dawson to start, calling for Jake to sit down, and for Todd Mayo to start, or Juwan Johnson to take a lot of minutes. It's what Buzz has envisioned, and I think Buzz is hoping he gets much more of that in these next six games.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, the one issue I always had with Jake starting was and playing so many minutes was because I felt it took away from the opportunities for Todd Mayo to play. But Buzz, you know, in the Xavier game, Mayo played 32, Thomas 38, Derek Wilson 39, and Jameel Wilson 31. Probably a few 2 minutes for Derek and Jake, but given their performance, I don't think you can justify giving it away. But that's probably the right amount of time for Todd Mayo and Jameel Wilson as well. So, yes. You know, he's distributing the minutes probably appropriately, and the freshmen just haven't gotten to the point where they've consistently proven that they should be starting or that they should be getting more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, not to speak too poorly of the guy, but to be fair, if Juwan Johnson was as great as many people thought he could be this year, being a five-star guy coming in, he probably would have taken the shooting guard job by now. Whatever's going on, Jake's just outperforming him. He's making fewer mistakes. Jake's doing better in practice. And Juwan, in some of the limit minutes he's gotten, actually hasn't been that outstanding. So he just might not be ready to contribute at the college level just yet. Maybe he'll be a great player down the road, but he's just not quite there. And back to your point on Mayo, I think with this rotation that Buzz is going with, which has worked the last few games, Mayo might be best coming off the bench because if Dawson's not going to play very much, Mayo might be best served as being kind of that combo guard coming off the bench where he could play the one or the two.
Well, and they had it for like 12 seconds yesterday where they didn't have Derek Wilson or John Dawson in the game, and I don't think they had Jameel Wilson either. But I don't think it ended up in any actual playing time because I think defensively it was a turnover and then there was a media timeout and Buzz got Derek Wilson back in there. But, I mean, that's pretty telling that, you know, he was going with Mayo as the one guard for at least a minute or two if possible. He's just decided he's going to ride with the upperclassmen and call it a day.
I guess the one thing I can't figure out that much is the decreased time for Taylor. Not that I would say like they'd be doing better because they've done pretty well the last few games, but he seemed like he was playing really well. And unless his injury is flared up again, I'm just not sure kind of why he's kind of disappeared on the bench a little bit.
The only thing I can say is there were a couple instances yesterday, and I have, you know, I sit in the lower nosebleeds, so I have kind of a bird's eye view. Taylor did have a couple of lapses on the defensive side, and I'm not, you know, I don't mean this as a criticism of him because he's missed half the season with injury, and it's tough to get into the flow. But there definitely on some of the screens that Xavier was running, Taylor was late, recovering on defense, and it led to a couple of drives. So I think it's that Taylor's defense just isn't there. I think offensively, obviously, he's. I've been enamored with him since even before the Syracuse game last year on the offensive end, but his defense just isn't quite there yet. And I think he's decided that, you know, Buzz has decided that Steve Taylor's offensive impact, as long as Jameel Wilson is playing well, which he has the last couple of games, that Taylor's offensive impact doesn't justify his lapses on the defensive end.
If it's working, stick with it. So, Buzz has kind of found a rotation that he's comfortable with, and it's just going to be limited minutes for Burton, Johnson, and Taylor and Dawson going forward, and that's fine if that's what, you know, helps Marquette keep winning games and get as close as they can to the NCAA tournament. And speaking of that, things always look better after a win. Things always look much better after two or three wins in a row. So I think everyone is cautiously optimistic right now. About being on the bubble. That's the phrase we're starting to hear about Marquette. Will Marquette be in the tournament? I think you and I are kind of like-minded in this, Phil, thinking that Marquette is going in the right direction but still has some work to do before we can realistically talk about this team being in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we're in agreement. I mean, the Buzz did have a quote in his post-game conference yesterday that saying that we're in a position to be in a position regarding the tournament. We all know that's relatively buzz speak, but I'm in agreement with it, the sentiment. Hey, we won three games in a row. Great. That puts us closer to where it's perhaps a legitimate discussion, but we're at least, you know, we've got six games left on the schedule. I think we have to, at a bare minimum, go 4-2, and that's only if we win one of the Creighton Nova games. More likely, 5-1 is what we need to feel solidly bubble, if that makes sense.
Solidly bubble.
Yeah, you
That may
know,
be an oxymoron,
it could
but I
be.
get,
It could be.
but I get exactly what you're saying, and I agree. I mean, I think 5 wins is probably the number that gets Marquette in the discussion. I don't think it's the number that gets Marquette in the tournament.
Right.
I think it's the number that gets Marquette in the discussion where the committee is going to have to take a long, hard look at Marquette on Selection Sunday and say, is this team worthy or is it not? And obviously the reason for our pessimism is, of course, you know, the first 15 games count as much as the last, you know, 15 games or whatever, however many you played. It, you know, the Marquette's non-conference was underwhelming. I mean, they fell short in every big challenge. They really didn't have any nice wins. A lot of their wins were over teams with RPIs of 150 or worse. And they really didn't really have many great road wins either until they got that Georgetown win on the 20th. And a few more good road wins would be nice to have. And then there was the real stinker to St. John's, who was actually coming on strong lately and might actually be in the tournament mix as well. But Marquette needs some quality wins to counteract the mediocrity of the first 2 months of the season. And that's why I think 5 wins is a bare minimum, because you have to win one of either Creighton or Villanova. Ideally, you'd like both, but you know, you have to win one of those games, especially if you're going to lose another one somewhere else to I mean, look at the remaining games. Georgetown, Providence, and St. John's are all in that bubble mix right now. So, and if you lose to one of them, you're giving one of them a leg up on you in the race to get into the tournament. And then there's DePaul, which would be the horrible loss alert. That's the one you absolutely can't lose, because then that would greatly counteract any cancel out any win you would have over Creighton or Villanova. So, I mean, Marquette, as Buzz said, in a position to be in a position. Still some work to do, but you can't help but be encouraged by a 3-game winning streak, two of which I would say were over decent opponents, because Butler, despite its record, I think is actually an okay team. And then beating Xavier was a great win.
Well, and I think the way we beat Xavier, that we were relatively in control of the game the whole way, I think that gives you some hope. You know, the three games we won, it's not like we went, you know, Pitt, you know, Louisville, you know, Creighton or something for a 3-game winning streak. So
right.
And we're debating whether or not we should be in the discussion for a bubble. I mean, you know, it's not like we're debating whether or not we're going to get in, or that, you know, debating what seed we're going to be. So I'm excited about the wins, but I'm not going to get too excited about the tournament until they actually prove it. The Creighton game will be the decider. If Marquette at home, admittedly it's at home, so not as significant, but if Marquette can go ahead and beat Creighton on Wednesday, then, you know, in theory, DePaul's at DePaul on Saturday at the Allstate Arena, which is literally and figuratively a house of horrors. It is one of the worst. It's got to be the worst stadium in the Big East, and I'm just stretching on that because I haven't been to all of them. But and they're without Cleveland Melville. You know, so if Marquette beats Creighton, and theoretically should be able to beat DePaul, though that game always scares me because we never play well down in Rosemont. But if you win those two games, that's a 5-game winning streak, and at that point you're legitimately talking bubble, I think.
Absolutely, because the committee does take into account how a team is playing down the stretch. That's not like the first thing they look at, but it is, you know, when it comes down to one team over another. If one team has stumbled down the stretch and appears to be in a downward spiral, another has won 9 out of 10 games, that's something they consider. And you know, there's an article on Cracked Sidewalks that kind of breaks down Marquette against some other teams in the bubble mix. And one thing that it points out that I guess was a little surprising to me, but I guess the more I think about it, it's probably not that surprising, is Marquette's strength of schedule is a little bit lower than you would think. And I guess a big reason that maybe I was initially surprised and then not surprised is the way Ohio State and Wisconsin have stumbled since Marquette has played them. You know, at one point, Marquette had lost to those two teams, and they were both in the top five. And we're saying, oh, well, they lost to two top five teams. Well, now those teams, you know, aren't as strong now. I mean, I think Ohio State's dropped out of the top 25.
Yeah, they are, and Wisconsin was out for a little while and is now back in.
Right.
And they just beat Michigan.
So, I mean, yeah, so maybe Wisconsin's still going to have a nice resume, but the fact is the schedule maybe doesn't look as strong now as it did when the season began. And we knew coming in, of course, that this Big East is not last year's Big East. So you don't have Syracuse and Louisville and Notre Dame and Pitt buoying the conference's RPI like that. I mean, it's not that it's awful. I mean, it's still, as relative to most other leagues in the RPI, it's still pretty strong, but it's not what it was last year, which would have been easily number one RPI league. So you're going to take a step back in that regard a little bit.
Right. Well, and I don't think, you know, the non-conference, we didn't get any significant wins, but I think the other, and I don't remember, I saw an analysis on this somewhere, but part of the issue is the non-marquee non-conference games we had that we won, like Samford and IUIPI, 6-7 vowels, whatever it was. We won those games, but their impact on our strength of schedule was pretty bad. Like, they were all 200 plus RPI teams, so winning against them is almost a detriment.
And Grambling is sitting on one win, which is huge.
Right. That, well, hey, it's their first win in 2 years. I'm not going to go ahead and complain about it. But
we picked the right year to play Grambling.
Right. Sure. Right. They came up off the basement long enough to help us out in no way, shape, or form.
For nothing.
Yeah, you've been almost no help whatsoever. You know, the point remains that the non-conference schedule hurt us in all sorts of ways, which was not anticipated, because when you look at it on the surface, it was supposed to be a good non-conference if you got some wins, which we didn't. So now we're in a position where we have, and we talked about that in a podcast back in December, where, hey, you got to get some non-conference wins here, otherwise you're going to have to get all your significant wins in conference season. And now we look like geniuses, because that's exactly where we are. We're fighting to get quality wins in conference, just so we have the hope of being mentioned on the bubble.
It's a very loose word of the word genius.
Well, yeah, I've really dumbed it down, so to speak.
But Marquette, your point remains. Marquette needs to get some great wins, and let's talk about the one. I mean, we'll break it down more and more as the season goes along and see how close Marquette actually gets to being in the bubble mix. But I think it all kind of goes out the window if Marquette gets roped by Creighton on Wednesday. And let's talk about this game against Creighton and look at the last time they played. And obviously that was kind of a disaster. But to be fair, even back in the preseason when we thought Marquette was a preseason favorite in the Big East and would not only certainly get into the tournament but maybe get back in the Sweet 16 when we thought this team was that good, I still thought the game at Creighton would be a loss, just because that just has ambush written all over it. First Big East game, New Year's Eve, on the road, Doug McDermott. I just thought it would be a trap game. But then when we got to it and Marquette wasn't as good as we had hoped, you know, Marquette just got blasted in that game. The 67-49 final, maybe not even accurate in indicator of how lopsided that game was. Besides the obvious of guarding the three, what can Marquette gain from looking at the tape of the first game, Phil?
Well, I think the big takeaway, and this is going to seem counterintuitive, but as much as it pained me watching all those threes raining down, I believe Creighton shot in that game under their season average 3-point percentage. And, you know, 67 points, I believe, is also below their season-long scoring average. So I don't think the defense necessarily, obviously there's some things to do to tighten up, and Todd Mayo could definitely, you know, use a lecture about not doubling the post against Creighton. Having said all that, I think the thing to take away is the offense needs to play better. If they can find a way to generate offense, that will make a vast difference if their defense can remain up to par.
Yeah, 49 points is not going to get it done against Creighton. It's not going to get it done against most teams, quite frankly. But yeah, to back up the point you just made, Creighton actually did shoot below its percentage. Creighton is a 41.7% three-point shooting team on the season. In that game, they shot 37%. So not a huge difference, but it was below average by their standards. But when you hoist up 35 of them and 13 of them go in, well, that'll make up the difference. You're trading threes for twos, and the team that's getting all the threes is going to win. Of course, you got to get out there and guard McDermott and Raggy and hope those. One thing I'm really encouraged about that since then, Marquette has gotten away from playing Gardner and Otule together.
Yes.
And I think that spells trouble against Creighton, because obviously, as we've said many times before, those guys can't get out and guard a stretch four. And, you know, it's fine to have one of them down on the post, but to have both of them out there, I mean, it just plays right into Creighton's hands. So we won't – I highly doubt we see them together at all against Creighton, which is one reason for encouragement. The other reason, of course, is if Marquette's offense improves, you got to score more than 49 points against these guys. Another 18 points from Jake Thomas would be terrific. But the thing, Creighton is beatable, of course, if those threes aren't falling. I mean, right. The old cliche, you live by the three, you die by the three. That's my concern for Creighton in the NCAA tournament, is that leaves them susceptible to an upset if those threes don't fall in a tournament game. But as far as this game goes, yeah, that is kind of my hope for the game, is that Marquette's defense will be much better, because I think we'll have athletic guys guarding whoever is playing a four, you know, playing the four for Creighton, and hopefully their threes don't fall. I mean, granted, they didn't fall as well as they would like the last time, but hopefully their three-point percentage is even worse. And they don't even hoist up that many, because the fact is they got 35 in the air last time.
Right.
And if they get 35 in the air this time, I think that'll probably be a loss as well.
Well, and I wonder, you know, Otule and Gardner are two strengths of the team normally. But against a team like Creighton, I do wonder if we won't see – I mean, I could even foresee a lineup, depending on how Creighton's aligned, maybe like a Jamil Wilson playing a five and, you know, Burton getting in, because he may have his defensive lapses, but he's certainly athletic enough to run out and, you know, guard the three and he could take somebody like Rangi or somebody like that potentially, who's got height. So I do wonder if you don't see something where maybe Otule and Gardner for some minutes are not on the floor at all.
Yeah, it's going to be a matchup thing. I mean, a lot of games are like that. It's just about matchups. And, you know, Buzz, I'm sure, has studied that tape intently and looked at what went so horribly wrong in that game. And, yeah, I would not be surprised at all to see a smaller lineup. And as much as we've talked about Steve Taylor's lapses defensively, you would think athletically he could be able to match up with somebody against Creighton and get out there and defend.
Right. Yeah. I think you could see a lineup of Derek, Jake, Burton, Steve Taylor, and Jamil Wilson playing together, just to give you enough Now that theoretically that should be a good scoring lineup, but I don't know if it would work well together. But, you know, just to give you enough athletes to be able to guard everyone for Creighton. It'll be a very interesting matchup, because it's completely contrasting styles. So it's going to come down to who adjusts the most and who's making shots. I mean, because it is a home game. You have to think that that Creighton's unfamiliarity with the Bradley Center rims, maybe that has an impact. Who knows? Maybe that's just, you know, wishful thinking. I don't know.
It's logical. I mean, when shooting in an arena for the first time, hopefully that works in Marquette's favor if Creighton is not as familiar with the Bradley Center rims. I bet we see the three-guard lineup of Wilson, Mayo, and Thomas together.
Yeah.
I bet we see the three of them. I wouldn't be surprised if they all play 30 minutes in this game.
Oh, I honestly think they probably should. I'm still not sold on Derek and Jake, obviously, but if they play like they did the last couple of games on Wednesday, then they deserve, you know, 35, 36, 37 minutes. And we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, after a performance like Xavier, they certainly have the opportunity and have earned it to go out there and prove it again. And if, you know, if the trend continues, that's great. But I'm not banking and assuming that those two guys are going to combine for 27 points the rest of the way. But my thing is, what I look for every game, really, if out of Gardner, Jamil Wilson, and Todd Mayo, if Marquette can get 15 to 20 points out of two of those guys, I think Marquette wins more often than not. Because those are the guys who have to be on for Marquette to win games. But obviously, when you're getting a lot of points from Jake and Derek, well, then that's the bonus. And I think anytime you get close to 30 points from those two guys, Marquette should win just about every game, really, as long as they're not playing, you know, maybe one of the top two or three teams in the country. But I guess we'll just see what happens. But the key thing, as we've kind of harped on here, is just the offense has to be better, because the offense was a nightmare.
Yeah, it was
in
bad.
Omaha. It was. I mean, Marquette shot 35% as a team, but they were 16% from three. I mean, they kept. I mean, they only hoisted up 12, but I mean, they were 2 of 12 from downtown. So they've. I mean, if they're going to fire up threes, they've got to do better than that. So another performance from Jake Thomas, where he's, you know, around 50% from behind the arc, would be ideal against a team like Creighton, because if the threes are falling for Creighton, I don't think Marquette has a chance.
I think it's definitely a possibility. I struggle with this because, you know, I've kind of fallen off the optimism wagon this season and tend to be more pessimistic on every result. I do honestly feel like Marquette's got a better than 50% chance of winning this game. It's maybe like 51-52%, but I do think it's better than 50-50 with the home court and the way they've been playing the last three games. So I think they could win. It's really going to come down to what shots are sinking. I think you're right. It's just going to be, the teams are going to play the way they normally play, and it's just going to be a question of whether shots are going in or not. And that may sound like an oversimplification, but I don't know that there's going to be any sort of amazing strategic decision that gets made that's going to impact the game more so than just hopefully Marquette's shots fall better than Creighton's do.
And great performance from Jake and Derek aside last game. Really, over the last few years, the big recipe for success for Marquette has been when Marquette makes more free throws than their opponent attempts.
Yes.
And I think the free throw shooting, as we said earlier in the podcast, has been outstanding the last couple of games. So if they can continue to go inside and, you know, as much as we say Gardner and Otule could be a bit of a liability defensively, they could be such an asset offensively. So I would hope that Marquette could go inside to Gardner a lot in this game, get him to the free throw line, and hopefully get 20, you know, something points out of him. And if he can get at least 10 of those from the free throw line, then I think that would be a great start for Marquette. Then you just got to hope that, you know, Marquette can get, I don't know, you know, 15 points here, 15 points there from a few other guys in the lineup. Then I think it hopefully could be enough to beat Creighton at home. And then I think then the discussion about maybe this team possibly getting in the NCAA tournament mix could be honestly legit.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I mean, that's the one thing that could really impact the game is if Devontae or Otule are able to get McDermott into foul trouble because they're pounding on him down low. I mean, that's what I was expecting to see the first game. So that would certainly impact the game greatly. So, you know, it's going to be just roll the ball out there and going to roll with the upperclassmen. Hope we get the foul calls and the free throws. And, you know, I don't see any reason why the foul shooting would change from where it's at. So if they can get to the line, I expect them to continue to perform well. So that would be a key. I think you're right. That's a key focal point for the game is getting to the foul line.
Yeah, because I think you can't count on 30 points from Thomas and Derek Wilson every night. But I think you can count on getting the ball to Gardner and getting him to the free throw line and then just taking your chances there. So
yes.
as great as the Xavier game was, I think the simple formula of getting to the free throw line and making free throws is the safer bet. So we'll see how that goes. Want to make a prediction on the Creighton game?
I really don't want to because then I'm going to be held accountable. My predictions haven't been good very often, but I'm going to say as much as it terrifies me, I'm going to go back on the optimistic bandwagon, and I'm going to say a Marquette win 71-67.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. That's actually kind of in the same neighborhood I was thinking. You know, let's be fun. Let's be optimistic and see if this last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks can be really exciting for Marquette. I'll say let's see if Marquette beat Creighton at home. Yeah, I was going to say about 75-71. And then we'll get – the last few weeks could be really exciting. And, you know, there may be a trap game, maybe a slip up here. I don't necessarily think everything is fixed, but I do think the team is better now. The team is playing better overall. I think the team is learning its strength and its weaknesses. Buzz is settling into a rotation that he's comfortable with. All those freshmen are available if he needs them, but I just don't think they're going to be needed – or I don't know if needed is the word. They're just not going to be counted on as much going forward because I think Buzz is starting to get what he expects out of the starters and then those first 2 or 3 guys off the bench.
Yep, I agree. So we'll see. We may talk following the Creighton game, and it may just be another sob fest from the two of us, where we're just sitting here complaining about being optimistic. But you know, let's hope one last hope for the season, and if they get the win, then we'll build from there.
Generally speaking, isn't the kind of storyline for Marquette basketball every year, for the most part, something like this? We're real excited for Marquette basketball. Oh, we're not very good. Oh my gosh, we're awful. Oh, we stink. Oh, we're getting better. Oh, we're in the tournament. Oh, we're in the Sweet 16.
I don't know why we're bothering to play the games anymore at this point. You're probably right.
That's basically been the general idea for the last few years, is that there's been a low point at some point in non-conference play when everyone's off the bandwagon, and then there's been a turning
point. UW Green
Bay. Yeah, UW Green Bay, that was the low point last year, and then there's been turning points. There's been a big win here, a big win there, and well, I guess we'll see if that trend continues and maybe Marquette can be back in the tournament. But we do have a long way to go, as we've broken down in this podcast. If you agree with us, disagree with us, just want to say anything about the podcast, you, of course, can always find us online, find us on Twitter. Crack Sidewalks is the handle for Crack Sidewalks, obviously. You can find me at JoeMcCann3. You can find Phil at MOOOF23. You can also hit us up on our Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. Download the podcast on iTunes as well. Final thoughts, Phil, as we move toward the last six games of Iggy's play?
Let's breathe. We're not in the tournament yet. We got to beat Creighton on Wednesday. So let's get everybody out to the Bradley Center for an exciting game.
Yeah, let's get into position to get into the position to be into the tournament.
No comment.
Until next time, everyone, seashells and balloons.